and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. My guest today, speaking to us by phone from his office, is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We'd love to have your questions for him this half hour. You can call those in to area code 765-496-1999. You can send emails to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hey, Stan, I'm doing great. It's good to be on your program today, sir.
Good to have you, as always. I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about something big that's going on recently. You and I have talked on this program about your plans for downtown revitalization, and I wanted to spend a few minutes on that. You had a meeting about this recently. You've had some reports come back from a consultant the city hired to try to help envision what might be possible, and I wanted to ask you about a few things that they had said and a few things that you're making a priority. And one of the things you're advocating for is building a baseball park on the site of the former railroad roundhouse, having something that will draw in that sort of kind of sports tourism that's become so in vogue recently. Why is that one of your top priorities for this whole thing?
Well, in our city, Stan, the western gateway of our city, it could be beautiful. You know, I kind of compare this to our own personal lives. You know, as individuals, we have these big, bold dreams. We have so much potential in ourselves as individuals to do something great in society. And then just over time, you know, we have a way of letting disappointments and setbacks kind of bury our dreams. And I think that's what has happened in my hometown over the previous years. And the mission and the vision that I'm pushing right now is we are worth more in Frankfort. We do deserve beautiful amenities. We can stretch for more than what we ever have before, and in doing so, we can attract that young professional class to our community that we need here to ultimately grow and bring a great workforce, so industries will then follow. This area of our community specifically, Stan, it's under duress right now. There are areas that are certainly nicer than others, but especially the old roundhouse area. It's one of the more derelict areas in our community, and I'm putting that lightly. I've walked the grounds myself in these past 6 months, and I just can't believe the state of disrepair that those grounds have fallen into. Now, I will say this. There's been a group of individuals that have been working very, very hard for the past decade on this property, and it's hard to get the railroad to move, to get land donated, to make sure environmentally things are looking okay to proceed. And what I'm saying is I want to partner with that group, and I want to clean up that derelict area of our community. I want to create a beautiful gateway to the western part of our city, which is then just about two blocks off of our downtown. And this isn't just going to be a sports complex. This is going to be a historical experience. You can go anywhere, and your softball team or your baseball team, you can play in some field somewhere with a nice dugout and a nice infield. You can come to Frankfort, though. You can be two blocks off of a historic downtown, so in between games, you can go to Arnie's, you can go to Main Street, you can hang out downtown, and then you can go to this historical ballpark that's going to have shades and essences of Frankfort's rail history. I want to capture Frankfort's rail history throughout all aspects of this sports complex. I want to incorporate a walking trail around the entirety of the complex, so people that don't want anything to do with baseball, but they want to come out, they want to walk their dog, they want to people watch, they can come to Project Home Run. We're going to have a very nice playground area that we're proposing, so kids from our western neighborhoods can come and they can just be a part of the experience. And then the center hub of this complex, I want it to be a replica of the old turntable that used to turn our rail cars here in the city. The old maintenance sheds that used to surround the turntable, we want to scale those down to size and make many replicas of those and utilize those structures as our concession stand, as our restroom. We want an open-air gazebo. So this is more than a sports complex. This is going to be an experience for our community. And why do I want to do it here? I think this will give us the biggest bang for our buck. It kills about five birds with one stone, and it will clean up an area and make a gateway to our city that I truly believe could have a lasting impact.
Have you gotten estimates of how much money this particular part of the plan will cost by itself, and then how much revenue it might bring in on a yearly basis when it's done?
Sure, great question. So Right now, we're working with our team of architects and engineers. The Frankfurt Redevelopment Commission did sponsor a study on Project Home Run. We will be getting ready to release that to the public, renderings, overhead shots, the layout, and we'll, of course, be receiving a ton of public feedback on this. We're probably looking north of $8 million for a project like this. That includes all necessary environmental cleanup. That includes our walking trail, all the amenities that we're proposing. And to get this done, I think it's going to take a public-private partnership. I've looked at the finances. I've looked at our current revenues, not raising taxes, looking at our current revenue stream that the Redevelopment Commission has at its disposal. And I believe that they can support around $5.3 million of this project. The additional monies I plan on going to our foundations, our not-for-profit sector, our private industries, and I want to show them how an investment in Project Home Run could mean a better community, not only for the people that live here, but for their businesses. By attracting a different class of people, we are going to fuel their industries, fuel their businesses, and ultimately help their bottom line. And what I saw with Ivy Tech, I know this is possible in our community, and I can't wait to unveil officially Project Home Run to the city of Frankfurt.
What do you mean when you say attract a different class of people?
Well, I think right now, you know, I think back to high school, Stan, and I can't name 10 people from my graduating high school class off the top of my head that went off to college and then came back to Frankfurt. I mean young professionals that are graduating from colleges, colleges like Purdue and Butler and Indiana University and Wabash and Franklin. I want to give them a reason to move back to Frankfurt. That's exactly what I mean. And I think young professionals, they look at these types of amenities. Maybe their kids don't play ball, but they want to be in a beautiful community. They want to be in a community that celebrates the past but embraces the future. And I think projects like this will help us draw those types of individuals. Now, you ask about the revenue for something like this. I think a project like this, and I have talked to an organization that markets and puts together and programs softball and baseball tournaments, a project of this size, and we're not talking about Grand Park. We're talking about a very manageable, smaller project. We believe that we can have 36 team tournaments every weekend after April 31st, moving up to July 31st, take a month off in August as the kids go back to school and family vacations happen, and then pick back up again in the fall with fall softball. We believe with those size of tournaments, we can bring an additional 1,000 to 1,500 people to this community every weekend, and just rental alone on the diamonds, we believe $100,000 to $150,000 can be generated off a facility like this. That does not include the concession stand. So that kind of gives you a little bit of an idea on what we're looking at baseline in terms of projected revenue. I think the facility can sustain itself.
You mentioned Grand Park down in Westfield, and as that facility was being built a few years ago, I drove around it with Mayor Cook down in Westfield, and it, of course, has baseball and softball and soccer fields and quite a number of them, and it's very close to a big population base in Indianapolis and is in Hamilton County, which itself is growing very quickly. It would logically be a competitor to what you're considering building. Have you thought about how to manage that competition and whether there's enough demand to go around?
Yes. You know, this is obviously sports in our nation. It's a bubble, and the bubble's growing. I don't think I'll see that bubble burst probably in my younger lifetime. I probably know for a fact that my kids 18 years from now will be involved in sports like this. You know, Project Home Run is going to be a completely different feel than Grand Park. What Grand Park has done is truly on a different level. We're going to provide a different atmosphere. You know, not every team can afford to play at Grand Park. There's gate admissions. The cost to play in tournaments there, it's costly. And also, you know, you look at the central region right around Frankfurt specifically, right off Interstate I-65, just south of Chicago, a little north of Indianapolis. I think we can perhaps market to a different group of people than what Grand Park draws. And the essence of Project Home Run, it's going to kind of have, I want it to have a Wrigley Field type essence. It's going to be historic. historical. It's going to be a walking experience, and it's going to be right off our historic downtown. It's going to be accessible. Everything's going to be within walking distance. Grand Park definitely has its place. The Project Home Run will have such a different ambiance with different price points that I think we can be competitive in this market.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're chatting today with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. Call in your questions for him to area code 765-496-1999. Send emails to ask@WBAA.org or tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. I wanted to mention something that the consultants were talking about, and that is kind of the beautification aspect of downtown. You keep saying how this is only going to be a couple of blocks away from downtown. The consultants, and forgive me for putting it this way, seem to find the town either in disrepair or perhaps even ugly in places. They want to add parks and plants and benches and walking trails, all of it contributing as much to how the town looks as anything else. Did it cause you to see Frankfort through a new lens when you got back that kind of feedback on how the consultants appear to see your city?
Hey, listen, I'm proud of my hometown. I'm proud of what we've done. You come to our downtown today and you look at what it looks like in comparison to 6 years ago, before Ivy Tech was rejuvenated, before Old Stoney was rehabilitated, before we put in our facade grants into place for our downtown buildings, before we're carrying out a $500,000 sidewalk and lighting project in our downtown. And, man, I am darn proud of the strides that we have made. Now, can we always become better? Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest with you, when I was interviewing, I interviewed a wide variety of consultants before I settled on a consultant that I wanted to head our DRP process. And it was their bluntness. It was, listen, you know, you guys, you've planned your land use and you put some parking lots in areas that you probably shouldn't. So, you know, we're going to slap your wrist and we're going to say, this is why we advise you not to do this in the future, and we're going to move on. You know, I like that. I love constructive feedback. Where they're talking about placing Prairie Creek Park, I love it, because it's going to be a bookend to Project Home Run. It's going to be on Washington Street. Prairie Creek Park is going to be a very, very special place. It's going to be a place that's congregated year-round. It's going to have an amphitheater-style stage where plays happen, concerts happen. We can have vending individuals there selling fresh hot dogs or selling a taco salad. There will be a water feature to it. I love Prairie Creek Park because it's just a beautiful complement to what we're wanting to do right down the road with Project Home Run. And then where we are talking about putting Prairie Creek Park, there is an infill or a blank lot that, unfortunately, there was a fire there around a decade and a half ago. That building burnt down. We're hoping, Stan, to make strategic investments to synergize private investment. If you came to downtown Frankfort right now, and the consultant said this, would a private investor take a risk on building $10 million worth of marketplace apartments and condos at $1,000 a month? Probably not. Probably not. But if we make some strategic public investment, which normally precedes private investment, I believe that can happen. So that's what we're tasked with now, is looking at the revenue stream that we have, living within our means, and making some strategic investments to create an environment that's going to get a private developer, whether it be a restaurateur, a boutique hotel, marketplace housing, to take a risk on downtown Frankfort. And I think if we make these investments correctly, that is what will happen.
You mentioned you think the ballpark is going to cost about $8 million, and the whole project is somewhere in the $10 to $20 million range, estimate-wise. Clearly, that's going to take the city and county a fair amount of time to come up with and to implement all of this if it all gets up and running. What is your timeline? How quickly do you think this will get done, assuming you can find some sort of revenue stream for it?
Well, I can tell you, I've already done the financial analysis, and I know that, you know, and it's important to realize with TIF too. TIF can be a great tool. It can also be a very dangerous tool. You have to use it very surgically. And so in 2012, when we set up our tax allocation areas, we did it specifically around our historic downtown district and specific industries in our industrial park that we believe would benefit from a stronger downtown and a stronger western gateway to our city. So if someone's out there listening, and you know they live on South Jackson Street by me, we would be taking the revenue stream from property taxes paid specifically in the downtown and a few industries in the industrial park, and leveraging those revenues to to make these projects possible. So our revenue stream right now on an annual basis in these areas is around $730,000. So even if we supported, say, $5.5 million worth of bond issuance for Project Home Run over the next 20 years, that leaves us roughly a surplus of around anywhere in the neighborhood of $316,000 to $500,000. So it's not like we're betting the farm on Project Home Run. We're still going to have room to breathe. That doesn't include any private fundraising, any grant applications to our community foundation, and then any state funds through things like Stellar Communities or the programs through OCRA, their Blight Elimination Program. I think we can do this, Stan. And for Project Home Run, you know, we're getting ready to submit the visual renderings to the community, presenting this financial plan to the RDC and the council. It's going to take a little time, but, you know, I'm keeping the hammer down. I'm going to get as much done in the next 3 years as possible and get as much in place as possible so this continues to carry on after our administration is concluded.
You have talked about Stellar on this program before, and you've had kind of a hit-and-miss relationship with it. You thought you wanted to give the community a couple of years from your last application to sort of not have donation fatigue or something like that. Would you see this project, this downtown revitalization, as a centerpiece of Stellar, much like what Crawfordsville did or similar to what Delphi did?
Yeah, now we're ready. Now we're ready. I am so thankful that when we were listed as a finalist back in the year 2012, 2013, the years are getting away from me now, that we didn't win. That was a blessing in disguise. We learned a lot through the process, but, you know, we just weren't ready. I wasn't ready yet. We're ready now. We've vetted that plan. We've tweaked that plan. We've got Ivy Tech done. We've got Old Stoney done. We've got a ton of private investment starting to occur in the downtown. We have our DRP done with loads of community feedback from the various governing bodies and appointed bodies and volunteers throughout the city. We've got renderings, and we've got a plan moving forward for Project Home Run. Now we're ready as a community. So absolutely, I'm staying very open to that, and that's going to be very strategic for me. I think if we can show the state that locally we can support something like Project Home Run, we get Old Stoney done, we've got Ivy Tech done, then we can make a strong statement to them that, listen, we've got all these other pieces in play without your help. You come in and you make X number of an investment, and it's going to take this thing over the top, and you're going to see a monster return on a limited investment in the grand scheme of things. So, yeah, I'm keeping my eye to that and staying open to that opportunity.
You said earlier you didn't want to raise taxes to do this. But at a certain point, would it not be okay to ask your citizens to weigh whether they think a small tax increase could help get this done faster and thus help improve the community in which they live even faster?
Yeah, you know, potentially. I'm a conservative at heart. You know, in our budget that we propose next year, Stan, we're $900,000 underneath our max levy, which, you know, means we could be levying $900,000 additional. That we could make a case for that to the DLGF. Our city council and myself, you know, right now with the school referendum occurring, that's hitting taxpayers. You know, we've raised trash fees just a little bit, a couple dollars per month. Our electric utilities looking at a rate adjustment. So, you know, it's all the same organization. So we've really wanted to do our due diligence. But let me say this. If we get Project Home Run done, if we get a couple of these things done and people really see how it can raise the level of ability in our community, that they see and they actually feel it's not just words, it's not just a water collar on a poster board, and they actually understand how this is going to affect their lives. They see how people are then reinvesting into the neighborhoods around these properties, that it's bringing more businesses, that it's just a cleaner environment, then I think that's when I am justified as a leader to go before them and say, listen, if we do this, we can get this much more done. And then at that time, the community and the council and I, we can have that conversation and decide how we want to proceed.
We've got about 10 minutes left with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes today on Ask the Mayor here on WBAA. Call in your questions at area code 765-496-1999. Email them to ask@wbaa.org or tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Want to move on to other things? We were looking at some things that were scheduled around here today, and we saw your name at the bottom of an agenda of an economic development meeting talking about regional economic development, but I understand you're actually not going to be coming to Lafayette today. Is that correct?
No, Stan, and I want to apologize to the people at Tippecanoe County. So I received a secondhand invitation to a regional summit today that's happening in Tippecanoe County to close the program as a speaker. And, of course, things like that, I do them all the time, and I would have loved to have been there. But that official invitation never came to our office, and with my schedule being what it is, we have to have things at least a week and a half to 2 weeks in advance. This afternoon is piled up with important community meetings that I've dedicated myself to that I've got to be in the city for. That being said, the essence of regional economic development is incredibly important to me, and I'll give you an example of that. I was actually asked to serve on the Greater Lafayette Commerce Board, and so actually next Tuesday will be my first meeting that I'll be over in downtown Lafayette, and I'm so honored that I was asked to serve on that board. And I've made it known to the leaders in Tippecanoe County that we want to be good partners. What's good for Lafayette is good for Frankfort and vice versa. So I'm trying to plug myself in as I'm able, and with the Greater Lafayette Commerce Board, I can't wait to get over to Tippecanoe County, figure out what you guys are doing, and then kind of change my policies and my outlook, if need be, to be better partners and a stronger regional partner to Lafayette and West Lafayette.
As we were looking at that agenda this morning in the newsroom, we were talking about a couple of abortive attempts that we were aware of in the past to link the Greater Lafayette area with neighboring towns like yours, especially on economic development matters. And Todd Barton told us on this program about a year ago that as they were pursuing a deal for a Regional Cities Initiative grant between Crawfordsville and Greater Lafayette and elsewhere, that proposal actually fell apart because economic leaders in Lafayette wanted too much control of the project in the eyes of the folks in Crawfordsville and wouldn't agree to be equal partners. And so Crawfordsville pulled out of the thing. And we're also aware of conversations between Lafayette and Kokomo a few years ago that fell apart. And I wondered what your conversations had been like, especially as you were talking about getting on the Greater Lafayette Commerce Board, because it seems like you have an obligation to advocate for Frankfort on that board and for your role in the regional economy. What have your interactions been like in terms of making sure that Frankfort is an integral part of these conversations, just like Lafayette and West Lafayette are?
Well, Frankfort's forward progress is first and foremost on my mind, and let me be clear, I'm a competitor. I am a competitor, and if there's a project floating around and I believe it's right for Frankfort, then I'm going after that, and I'm going after it because I'm a hot dog and I love Frankfort and I love Clinton County. But I don't feel like, Stan, I would be doing my constituency justice if I did not, from time to time, get outside of the boundaries of Clinton County, connect myself with state officials, and connect myself with Tippecanoe County on behalf of the people that I serve, because there are going to be times, whether it be the strengthening of I-65, what we advocate for with OCRA or with NDOT or with our state legislators, that there's strength in numbers. And if Tippecanoe County and Clinton County can see a way to partner on a project, a regional project, I'm going to be completely open to that. To get to your question, I haven't had any sense of any negative conversations. I've had a great relationship. Mayor Tony Rozworski, when I was having some issues with housing 3 or 4 years ago, he said, "Chris, come over. I want to talk to you about a program I have." At the time, it was their hearing authority, and he pulled out the red carpet and his team and educated us on that. Same with Mayor John Dennis. He's been completely open, and I look at both of those men as mentors. I look up to them for what they've done for their communities, both from a leadership aspect and a public safety aspect. So I'm keeping my heart and my mind open, and I believe a stronger partnership with Lafayette and Tippecanoe County is important for Frankfort's success.
On to a couple other things you mentioned earlier. Old Stoney nearly complete. Have you been in the building to take a look at the progress?
Yeah, I was there this morning. That's what I had this morning after my department head meeting at 8. We're doing final punch list walkthrough, and I've got to say, Stan, wow. I mean, this building, it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. I cannot wait to open it up to the community. And it's not every day where you can say a building project is on schedule and on budget, but our building project is on schedule and on budget. And I've got to be honest with you, I was scared to death at the beginning of this project because, you know, the contingency that was built in terms of the bond capacity with moving into an old building and doing all the work that we did, it was kind of worrisome because you don't know what you're going to come across. But we were given a set budget by the council, and we've been able to maintain that. The terrazzo flooring, the masonry work on the outside, the new electrical system, the HVAC system, it's new carpeting, new painting. It's really going to be stunning for our community, and it's really neat that we can preserve an asset from the late 1800s right here in the heart of Clinton County.
Were there any particular aspects of the mayor's office that you had hoped for as you were getting the planning set for this?
I got new tile in my restroom, so that's kind of nice. I had carpet in my restroom, and I don't know. There's just something that seems uncleanly about that. So we put some tile in my very small restroom. My office was repainted just like all the other offices, and then I got new carpet, or I'm getting new carpet just like the other offices. But other than that, there's some lighting changes. We did do security upgrades, so we are gonna have some security cameras and panic buttons, which I know that does not go along with restoration, but it's important for our community to know that we've really tried enhancing security in Old Stoney through this project. I've had a great meeting with Central Dispatch, 911, so they're going to be able to monitor everything. They have floor plans of the building, so heaven forbid anything were to ever occur, you know, we're trying to cross our T's and dot our I's in terms of risk mitigation.
One more quick topic in our last couple of minutes here. After months of talking with you about it, I finally made it over to your city golf course a couple weekends ago and played around. And it seems to me that it's in better shape overall, as you had said, than it was last year when I played it. There are still a fair number of areas where there's ground under repair or that retain water a little bit too easily. Is the city cataloging those sorts of areas and making a list and a schedule of where you might need to go next in terms of repair and maintenance?
Oh, heavens, yes. And I'm so glad you came over, Stan. I'm so glad. So the greens are where we started, and I hope you saw how true the greens are rolling. They're rolling great. We wanted to start at the greens and work our way out. You know, I know as a golfer, that's one of the number one things you remember from a course is the greens and the customer service. Over this fall, we're going to look at aerating all of our fairways and all of our tee boxes. Our tee boxes are rough right now. That's the one thing that I really want to see improve moving into next year. And we have every intention of doing that. The grounds crew, they were behind the eight ball at the start of the season with those greens, so we wanted to start there. I can also tell you that our irrigation system is absolutely antiquated. It's old, and replacing the irrigation system is incredibly costly. So all the cuts you're seeing out there are leaks. I think we've cut up the ground 36 times or more this year just to repair leaks to get our irrigation system at full pressure so we can keep our course irrigated properly. So our grounds crew is working on that. So next year, hopefully, you'll see better tee boxes, better fairways, an improved irrigation system. And we want to keep those greens going in the right direction. The other thing we're looking at is bunkers. We want to get some new sand in the bunkers. But, you know, I'm sure with your game, Stan, you weren't in those bunkers. You were hitting greens and reg on every hole, weren't you?
Would that were the case. I do have to say in the last couple of seconds, though, that you mentioned customer service, and I had found that to be a problem, as I know other people had in the past, and customer service dramatically improved this time around. My kudos to the gentleman who helped me and my playing partner out, so that was a much better experience. Mr. Mayor, we've run out of time, but we appreciate your time as always, and we look forward to maybe walking around Old Stoney with you sometime soon.
I would love it, Stan. You get the first tour, okay? I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember, you can find all of these programs archived at our website. That's WBAA.org. And tune in at this time next week for our conversation with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. You can get your questions in for him by emailing ask@WBAA.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.